Welcome back to the Brittany Hughes Show. Happy Thursday, everybody. So another day, another headline of a girl getting hurt by a transgender player, also known as a guy, in a sporting event. And this is happening more and more often. And it's particularly disconcerting because what we're starting to see is this happening at younger and younger ages. This is not just happening in the professional world. We're now in a place where we're seeing multiple instances of young ladies, particularly in high school, being physically harmed at sporting events because they're being forced, sometimes unwittingly, to go up against boys who have identified as girls, who have all of the physical advantages of boys. Because again, we're talking about high school when it is simply not possible to have undergone enough hormone therapy or sex reassignment procedures, which aren't actually a thing. Where it's not possible for these young men to have undergone nearly enough physical procedures to alter their hormones. Multiple studies have shown that that doesn't help anyway. But even if it did, we're talking about high school age students where you're essentially pitting a fully functional, intact male against young ladies. And now we've got young ladies getting hurt, and it's happening more and more often. This one is out of Massachusetts when the Collegiate Charter School of Lowell was forced to forfeit a game to Kipp Academy after not one, not two, but three girls were injured by halftime. Because on Kipp Academy's side of the fence, there was a transgender player who stood at well over 6 feet tall, who sported facial hair, but who identified as a female, and based on that alone was allowed to play on the female team, on the girls' team. And now we've got three young ladies who were injured. This is just the latest in a long line of female athletes who have been physically harmed by trans players in games, which, by the way, can I just side note here? Just to clear this up, because I hate that the left has done this. I hate that they have co-opted language to the point where even people on the right, even conservatives, have started to adopt some of the vernacular of the left, even when we're arguing against it, even when we disagree with it. They have done such a good job at controlling the very words we say, whether it's talking about abortion as reproductive rights, or it's talking about transgenderism. Let me be clear. There is no such thing as a transgender person. No such animal. There is no such thing as transgenderism. There is gender dysphoria. A person can be suffering from gender dysphoria. A person can believe that they are a different gender than what they were born as. A person can cosplay as a different gender. In some cases, it's 100% legit that they truly do have a mental illness that makes them believe that they are a different gender. In other cases, particularly in the world of sports, I believe we're dealing with young men who have trouble in their particular sporting arena and decide to, you know, journey over to the women's team because, quite frankly, they can be much more physically dominant there and for obvious reasons. But regardless of the motivation, there is no such thing as a transgender person because it is not physically possible for a person to transition their gender. You cannot do that. It doesn't matter what clothes you put on. It doesn't matter if you wear gobs of makeup. It doesn't matter what medical procedures you get, cosmetic, internal. It doesn't matter. It is written in your DNA. You were designed by God as the gender with which you were born, and you cannot transition that. So the very idea of transgenderism is an oxymoron. So we're not talking about a transgender person, a transgender female. We're talking about a gender-confused male. And now we have young ladies being physically harmed on the court and on the field going up against these guys. Never mind the stolen trophies and the gold medals and the championships and the spots on the team that young ladies have been forced to forfeit to biological males. It is bad enough. It is infuriating and heartbreaking enough for a young lady who has worked her tail off in her sport to achieve the highest level she possibly can and to end up losing to a physically advantageous male against whom she could not possibly compete, and she knows it, and he knows it, and the world knows it, but we have put blinders on as a society and said, we're going to accept this because we're inclusive, right? Don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And so this young lady ends up having to stand there on a podium and accept her silver medal, or, you know, accept that she's not going to get to go to the championships because she was beaten out by a male. That is bad enough. That is just outrageous and should disgust anybody. But now we've got multiple girls, many of them in high school, getting physically hurt because they found themselves playing, sometimes unwittingly, against a physically dominant male who couldn't hack it on the guys' team. So he grew out his hair and he threw on some shorty shorts and started calling himself Teresa or whatever. And next thing you know, he's spiking volleyballs in girls' noses. We've had volleyball players end up with broken noses, soccer players, field hockey players with their teeth knocked out. We've had women MMA fighters with broken facial bones. We've had female wrestlers choked out. We've got video of this stuff, and it's disturbing, and it's happening at higher and higher rates. By the way, do you remember this took place at a hearing a few weeks ago? Because now we have to have congressional hearings on this stuff, right? The idiocy of the congressional hearings that we have to have on things that should be common sense. Congressional hearings on things like whether or not America should have a secure border. Now we've got congressional hearings on what women are. What is a woman? Should men be allowed into private spaces that are designated for women? And should they be allowed on women's sports teams, where they can not only steal achievements and accolades from women, but can physically dominate and even harm them? Because again, when it comes to gender dysphoria and gender bending and the left's war on science, especially in the world of sports, this really only breaks one way. Women are the only ones who pay the price for this insanity. If a young lady decides that she identifies as a male and she wants to go out for the men's basketball team or the men's soccer team or the football team or whatever, the chances are almost 100% that there's no way she's even going to make the team, much less see playing time, at least based on her physical prowess. It's even less likely that she would be able to physically dominate anyone against whom she is playing. That's not a thing. But when a male decides to identify as a female and begin playing against women, now you've got a situation where not only is he going to be more physically dominant, but it becomes dangerous for the female players. Women are the only ones paying the price for this insanity, particularly in the world of sports. And AOC, for the life of her, because she is, I don't even think she's this stupid. Maybe I'm giving her too much credit. Maybe it's because I cannot wrap my brain around the idea that anybody could possibly be this stupid. I think she's being intentionally obtuse and disingenuous. But she cannot seem to understand why in the world anybody would have a problem keeping men out of women's sports.
Trans people in the United States doesn't even exceed 1% of our population. And yet there is so many resources and energy and time dedicated to figuring out how we can more finally exclude them from our sports. And I thought, why? Why?
Well, herein lies your answer. Herein lies your answer. A perfect example is this high school basketball game in Massachusetts, where by halftime, you had three young ladies injured because they were playing against a male. In one video, you can actually see this clearly much larger male player slam a young woman to the ground like she was a rag doll. He goes on to just stand there like, what? What'd I do? I don't do anything. The young ladies standing around are staring at what just happened with a look on their face. And the young lady in question is laying on the ground, clutching her back, obviously in pain. We have the video on mrctv.org. You can go check it out. It's a disturbing video. This is why people have a problem. It's not just because it is infuriating to see women have to give things up to men who are cosplaying as women. This is dangerous. As a matter of fact, after three players got hurt by halftime, the charter school, the collegiate charter school of Lowell, forfeited the game because the coach said his female players didn't want to go back on the court. They were so afraid of getting hurt and not being able to compete in the playoffs. They didn't want to go back on the court. That's how worried they were. That's how hurt some of these ladies got. To the point where their school had to forfeit a game to another school that was cheating. According to a press release from the school, the bench was already depleted going into the game with the 12-player roster having four players unable to play. When the coach saw three more girls go down in the first half, leaving him with five players, he made the call to end the game early. Once the third was injured, the remaining five expressed concern to him about continuing to play. The players feared getting injured and not being able to compete in the playoffs. Here you have young ladies who are being made to be so afraid of going out on the court. They can't even play the game. This is enraging. And even still, the charter school, which is, of course, a public institution, wrote that it, quote, reiterates its values of both inclusivity and safety for all its students, adding that it will follow the guidance from the MIAA, the Massachusetts Interscholastic Athlete Association, and state laws regarding equity and access for all student athletes. Translation, we promise we're not transphobic, so please don't cancel us. So here's a school whose players just got injured and in a press release are having to come out and say, no, we just want to make sure that everybody understands that we completely support this biological boy's right to come onto the court and slam our players to the ground and hurt them. Don't cancel us, because we all know what happens when you stand up and you say, this isn't right. That's wrong. The left's pitchfork mob immediately comes out en masse. But apparently this is a thing in Massachusetts, because according to the Massachusetts Interscholastic Athlete Association's handbook, a student shall not be excluded from participation on a gender-specific sports team that is consistent with the student's bona fide gender identity. Notice, by the way, that we're talking about high school students. We're not talking about the professional world of sports here, which is bad enough. But we're not talking about, you know, a league or an association that governs the adult sporting world. Many of those have laid down rules that state what medical procedures and what hormone therapy a transgender player has to have undergone in order to compete, particularly in the women's category. Now, multiple studies have shown that hormone therapy often fails to achieve, in 75% of cases, fails to achieve female levels of testosterone in biological males. Even biological males that have undergone years of hormone therapy, it's nearly impossible to get a biological male down to female levels of testosterone, meaning that even after therapy, biological males will retain a physical advantage over women. You cannot fight God. You cannot fight nature. This is the way that their bodies were designed. But we're not even talking at this point about adults who have had the time and the ability to undergo hormone therapy. We're talking about high school age students who could not possibly have undergone hormone therapy to that extent, or sex reassignment surgery, which is not actually a thing, but chemical castrations, etc. Many of these athletes that we're seeing, these are not, you know, transgender students who have, you know, completed 10 years of therapy. In many of these cases, these are males who in the previous year were competing on the guys' team. And all Massachusetts requires is that you identify as a certain gender, and then you're allowed to play. Doesn't matter what your hormone levels are. Doesn't matter what your physical aptitude is. And now we've got girls getting hurt. I actually saw online, because I talked about this story over on Instagram at one point this week, I actually saw online a suggestion from one user, which I actually thought was quite brilliant. So my suggestion, my way of nipping this whole entire thing in the bud is I think that women should just completely refuse to participate. I think that whether it's a middle school team, a high school team, you know, if you're the coach of a girls' team, if it's a professional team, I don't care what level you're playing at. Women should refuse to participate. We are not going to compete if there's a boy on the court. We are not going to swim in a pool against a guy. We are not going to go into that locker room if there's a guy in there. If women would just stop putting up with this insanity and say, we're done. We're done with this. I think that would nip the problem in the bud. But as a second suggestion, which I actually thought was pretty brilliant, one person said that every single girls team that finds themselves going up against a team or you know, whatever with a biological male player should immediately sub in a football player, like a linebacker or a defensive lineman or somebody, and just have them pinch hit on the girls team and just let that dude lay this guy flat. And that would take care of the problem. And I actually thought that was pretty brilliant as solutions go. I would pay to watch that, genuinely. I would pay to watch that. The video of that would be fantastic. It'd be a heck of a lot better than the videos that we've got currently of girls just getting completely annihilated. Because the left is fine with girls getting hurt, right? They're perfectly fine with girls getting hurt by trans players. They don't care what the actual girls on the court or the field are feeling or are thinking, if they're hurting. They're fodder. Women were the poster children for the left social war until fake women in the form of biological men in skirts came along. And women, actual women, went from the back of the bus to the front of the bus to under the bus awfully freaking quick, right? But when a trans person is the victim, When the roles are reversed, or at least when leftists can paint them as a victim, then all of a sudden they're full of compassion, right? Then all of a sudden this issue gets a spotlight. When it's a young lady getting slammed to the floor and concussed by some 6-foot burly dude who, you know, 6 weeks ago was going by Michael, and now he's Matilda or whatever, that doesn't matter. Just move along. Ignore that. Move along. But when the leftists can paint a trans person as the victim, then all of a sudden, you know, we're bleeding hearts. We're back to we need to love everybody and include everybody and care about everybody's feelings. In other trans-related news this week, because we seem to have so freaking much of it at this point, for these folks making up only 1% or less of the population. As a matter of fact, this issue is continuing to grow like the social contagion that it is. Recent studies have found that as many as 300,000 American youth now identify as something other than their biological gender. So this issue, as we can see, is quickly ballooning beyond insanity. It's all over the sporting world. It's in our medical institutions now. And of course, it's in our schools, particularly our public schools. And the left has an absolute field day this week because there's nothing that they like better than someone in their protected class dying. Particularly if they can blame it on right wingers. They love it when black people are shot to death by the police. They love it. They get so excited. You notice that the body doesn't even hit the pavement before there are people with cardboard signs protesting in the streets. Oftentimes, you don't even hear about the story before half the city is being burned down by rioters and looters. They love it. They love it when mentally ill, depressed trans people kill themselves because they can blame it on bullying by evil conservatives or, you know, fundamentalist Christians or whatever. There is nothing better than a dead person that they can point to and say, look at what y'all did. And this week, they had one. So this was a 16-year-old student at Owosso High School in Oklahoma, a 16-year-old student named Nex Benedict. Nex, N-E-X, Benedict, who from everything I've been able to gather was a biological female who is at some point infected by this radical left-wing gender ideology and at 16 years old began identifying as non-binary. And news broke that she, I believe news reports are actually using the pronoun they, but they refers to multiple people and it's grammatically incorrect to refer to a singular person as they. So I'm going to say she because that's what she was. This student, Nex Benedict, died the day after a fight in a school bathroom with other students. And of course, that's all it took for the left to run wild with speculation that this young woman, who did not identify with her biological gender and thought she was some manner of in-between or, you know, indescribable identity or whatever non-binary is supposed to mean, she must have been targeted in this bathroom by evil bullies who beat her so bad that they landed her in the hospital and she died the next day. So this non-binary hero now of the queer social agenda was murdered by evil right-wingers in the heartland, who of course hated her for her gender identity. That's the narrative that was immediately painted. That's the story that the left-wing media ran with. That's the headlines that you'll see on Google. And of course, the left was not going to wait for actual facts to come out. They seize on the narrative as quickly as possible. By the way, I believe in many cases they do this on purpose because they recognize that the facts might not actually keep up with their narrative, so they've got to get ahead of it, right? They've got to frame the story quickly so that by the time the actual information gets out there, the story that's been fed to the public has already been controlled. People's opinions have already been solidified. I think they intentionally run wild with speculation and they report all of this as fact before anybody can figure out whether it's true, and they do that on purpose. That's the goal. That's the intention. The goal is to deliberately not wait for the facts to come out because the facts might be inconvenient. So regardless of that, you know, the motives, whether this is just, you know, a deliberate effort or if they really are that brain dead, they immediately seized on this story, of course, and they ran with it because, again, there's nothing they like better than a dead body that they can blame on Republicans. So Nancy Pelosi, for example, who apparently doesn't have, anything better to worry about living in San Francisco. It's a, you know, crime infested, rat infested sewage dump of a city filled with, you know, dirty syringes and human feces, but she's behind a nice gated wall. So she doesn't have that to worry about. She's got all the time in the world to tweet about stuff like this. So she tweeted about Next Benedict. And here's what she said. Next Benedict's death from a brutal assault in their high school bathroom is outrageous and heartbreaking. The anti-trans fervor fueled by extreme Republicans across the country is having deadly consequences for our children. Okay. So she immediately blames extreme Republicans, right? It's those dirty, rotten, extremist Republicans. She blames them for causing this child's death. She attributes this child's death to an assault. She says their death from a brutal assault in their high school bathroom. So that's the framework, right? This kid was beaten to death in a high school bathroom, and it's all because of dirty, rotten Republicans and their laws targeting trans people and their transphobia. Except lo and behold, that doesn't seem to be at all what happened here. And local media outlets, to their credit, if you ever want to trust anybody, local media outlets, usually the better way to go. The national news media, absolute garbage, absolute trash. But the local news media, they tend to actually know people in these communities and have to answer to people in these communities. So you can usually get at least a little bit more truth out of your local media outlet. And they immediately came out and started denying certain spins, certain versions of this story that had been reported by the left-wing media as gospel truth. Turns out what actually happened was a lot different than a non-binary student being targeted and, you know, having the stuffing beat out of them in a bathroom and left half dead only to die of a brain bleed or whatever in the hospital. That's not at all what happened. The school has come out with a press statement saying that there was, in fact, an altercation in the bathroom between several students, but it appeared to be relatively minor. The fight was broken up in under 2 minutes by several other students and a faculty member. Everybody involved, including this Next Benedict, was immediately taken to the nurse's office. Nobody required immediate medical treatment. The school said that its policy to immediately transport students to a hospital if it's necessary and to alert the police if that's necessary. Neither one of those steps were taken. The administration determined there was no need for all of that. So parents were called. They were told what happened. They were advised to take their children for a physical exam later on if they wanted to. And then everybody was sent home. And by the way, as for the fight itself, reports that have now come out state that the scuff up may have actually been started by this non-binary student and a friend when they splashed water on some other kids in the bathroom, allegedly because she was tired of being bullied. Now, I can't comment on, you know, what level of bullying she may or may not have faced at school. Bullying and harassment is never okay. I don't think anybody's trying to make excuses for that. But at the same time, if you're a high school student and you splash another high school student with water in an effort to be mean, that's probably going to get a reaction. Don't think that's rocket science here. So we're talking about high school students, but everything that transpired did not seem to clock in on any of the adults' radars as serious or needing immediate medical or law enforcement intervention. No police were called. In fact, the police were only informed that anything had happened when Benedict's parents reported the incident after the fact. And then all we know is that the next day, police responded to what appears to be a separate incident, and at some point in the process, this young lady was pronounced dead. We don't know, nor have there been any confirmed reports by anybody, including her parents, the school, or administrators, or the police, that her death had anything to do with injuries she sustained in what everyone has agreed was a relatively minor incident. As a matter of fact, police reports state that her death was not caused by physical injuries from a fight, and they're waiting on toxicology reports to come back. There is an entirely possible alternate explanation for her death, which also has not been confirmed, but I think we can all read between the lines and make an educated guess as to what else may have caused this, which would be horrible and tragic in and of itself. But we have no confirmation as to what actually killed this young lady. None whatsoever. But see, that hasn't stopped leftists from accusing everyone from libs of TikTok over on Twitter of cold-blooded murder simply because, you know, she exposes groomers and pedophiles online. Just because she tells parents what's in their elementary school library and shows videos of adults teaching toddlers how to pole dance. You know, the absolute perverted debauchery that the left puts on display in our city streets. The left is now accusing Republicans in general of killing this young woman. Because what? Oklahoma has anti-LGBTQ laws? Oklahoma has passed laws that protect young women in bathrooms and changing areas that are reserved for women. Oklahoma has passed laws saying that drag queens can't perform strip teases and sexualized dances in front of children. These are common sense things that shouldn't even have to be laws. They should just be things that everyone understands. But because the left has absolutely lost whatever they had of a mind to begin with, we now have to codify these things into law. It's ridiculous. But because of that, simply wanting to protect the privacy of young women and the innocence of children, that means the conservatives and those dirty, rotten Republicans, they must be responsible for this young lady's death, even though we don't actually know what caused her death. It's interesting because when a tragedy fits the left's narrative, we know every single detail like 5 seconds after it happens. Have you ever noticed that? Like immediately, like freakishly, like, where did you even get this information? It happened so fast. But then in cases like this, we still don't have a cause of death. Even though this young lady is being used as a political prop to call for changes in legislation and accuse people of murder. But we can't figure out why she died. And I think there's a reason for that. I think there's a reason why it has not been confirmed how or why this young lady is dead. Because whether it's real or fake, the story that a non-binary teenager was beaten to death by bullies in a school bathroom is so much better of a story for the left. Because this young lady does not matter. What she was going through in her life, the mental illness she was struggling with, her identity crisis, the fact that she's now dead, none of that actually matters to the left. All that matters is how much mileage they can get out of her blood before her body goes cold. That is all they care about. Because the left can't actually make their argument on facts and logic. None of what they say actually holds up under its own weight. They just kind of make things up as they go along, and they toss out what they don't want or what they find useless. And they seize on things that prop up their ideology, regardless of how inconsistent it is. So J.K. Rowling, she's in the news again this week. You know, J.K. Rowling, she used to be known primarily for having written the Harry Potter series. And she was a darling of the left for many years because she's big into feminism. And, you know, women's rights and abortion and all that other stuff. She was solidly in the left's camp. They loved her, loved her. Until transgender women, i.e. fake women, men who believe that they are women, then they came along. And J.K. Rowling, who has spent her entire life pushing feminism and rabid feminism at that, she said, hold on a second. Now, I've spent decades fighting against men who tried to take things from women, and now we're literally letting men take womanhood from women. We're letting men invade women's spaces and invade women's sports and take women's achievements and scholarships and opportunities and trophies, and we're letting men become women simply because they say that they're a woman, which is the exact opposite of feminism, true, and everything that I've ever fought for. So she starts going, this isn't okay. This isn't what we've always wanted and what we've said. So now she's been tossed out in the cold by progressives who have abandoned women in favor of, you know, the greener pastures of LGBTQ rights. Because remember, the left is always looking for the next victim. Their entire mantra depends on categories of victimhood and constantly playing the victimhood Olympics, right? So out with the old, in with the new. Sorry, ladies. So now J.K. Rowling has made a name for herself, not as the author of, you know, one of the best-selling young adult series in the history of mankind, but as a transphobe, right? She's now, what do they call it, a TERF? Trans-exclusionary radical feminist? And she doesn't much care, which regardless of all of her other garbage beliefs, I can at least respect her for that. And I thought she really hit it on the head this week. She got into it with some activists, some pro-trans activists, who got mad at her for saying that sex offenders who have been convicted of crimes against women, so male sex offenders who have raped or assaulted or abused women, should not be placed in women's prisons simply because they say, oh, now I identify as a woman, which should be like literally the most common sense thing in the world, right? If you've got a man who's been convicted of sex crimes against women, you don't then put them in a correctional facility with women. Even when a dude comes out and says that he thinks he's a woman, the natural question is, you know, why does this man who previously identified as a man and, you know, raped and assaulted women suddenly want to identify as a woman and is asking to be transferred to a women's facility? Why do you think that is? The answer should not surprise you. And here's what J.K. Rowling had to say about people who actually got upset with her for following this basic line of thought. The trans activist outrage that ensues on here whenever I share my belief that jailed women shouldn't be used as validation tools or emotional support props for trans-identified male sex offenders is as revealing as it is predictable. She says trans activists can't bring themselves to concede that a man who is convicted of harming women and girls ought not to be incarcerated with the demographic to whom he is a proven danger, because if they do, all their stock arguments, no sexual predator would bother to pretend to be trans, or no trans woman has ever harmed a woman in a women's only space, or there's no danger in making all single sex spaces unisex, all of those are exposed as the lies they are. If they admit that even a single man isn't a woman because he says he is, the entire edifice of gender ideology crumbles. 150%, she's right. If leftists look at a man, a male sex offender, who one day wakes up and decides he's now identified as a woman and says, no, that doesn't sound right. I don't think he's being truthful. He's not really a woman. If they question it, if they concede that that makes no sense, then they have just ripped the proverbial rug out from under their whole entire argument, which is predicated on the idea that someone can simply identify as whatever they want just because they say so. We're not allowed to question it. We're not allowed to look closer at it. We're not allowed to disagree with it. You're supposed to accept all of this at face value, which opens up a Pandora's box to all manner of insanity. Like, for example, this. A transgender inmate in Indiana, serving a 55-year sentence for strangling his 11-month-old stepdaughter to death, filed a civil lawsuit against the prison chaplain for allegedly prohibiting him from wearing a hijab outside his immediate bed quarters because he identifies as a Muslim woman. So this is a biological male who was convicted of strangling his 11-month-old stepdaughter to death. He's in a male correctional facility. He now says he identifies as a Muslim woman and wants to wear a head-to-toe shroud, which of course is against prison dress policy. By the way, his name is Jonathan C. Richardson. He now goes by Autumn Cordeleone. Don't even ask me. He's currently serving out his sentence at the Branchville Correctional Facility, which is an Indiana Department of Corrections state prison for men. And according to the lawsuit, a prison chaplain told him that he could not wear a hijab outside his immediate bed chambers, and so he's now seeking $150,000 in damages and the right to wear the hijab anywhere in the prison because he says he wants to practice modesty as a Muslim woman. He claims that his 14th Amendment or Equal Protection Clause was violated. By the way, he's also suing the state for not paying for his sex reassignment surgery. He's being represented by the ACLU because apparently that's what baby stranglers are supposed to get when they're in prison is tax-funded sex reassignment surgery. And according to the left's entire ideology, according to the bizarre and insane rules that they've written for how we're supposed to view and respect someone's identity, this biologically male baby killer is a legit Muslim woman who should be allowed to wear a hijab, which is a massive security risk in a prison for obvious reasons. But who really cares about that? Because this is a Muslim woman and we're not allowed to say otherwise. This is the insanity that the left's gender war has created. This is the garbage we're now having to put up with. Because the entire argument, the entire left-wing argument for transgenderism, the idea that anybody can simply identify as whatever they want and need to be taken seriously immediately, cannot be questioned, cannot be challenged. Girls must immediately offer up their private spaces and their accolades and their opportunities and their scholarships and their sports and their own health and well-being to these mentally ill people because we have to respect everyone's identity. And now literally the inmates are running the asylum. Because we have lost the ability as a society to call a mental illness what it is. This is a delusion. You need help. And now we have young ladies being physically hurt consistently. We have women being put in physical harm's way, whether it's high schoolers on a basketball court or women in a prison. Now, I understand that there are biological women. There are biological females who identify as male. I get that. But I cannot think of a single situation where that presents a physical threat to the other men in the room. I can see where it would make for an uncomfortable situation in some circumstances. But I cannot imagine a situation where a biological female who identifies as a male being put in a men's prison poses a physical threat to the men in that prison. I can't think of a single instance, as a matter of fact, and I could be wrong. You might could dig deep in the bowels of the internet and come up with one or two, but I can't think of a single situation in which a biological female who went to prison began identifying as a male and asked to be transferred to a male facility. You would have to not only be mentally ill and gender confused, you would have to be an absolute lunatic to want that. But even if that were to happen, and I cannot think of a single instance where that has happened, but even if that were to happen, there is no way that the men in that prison would be at physical risk from that woman. Just like there is no way that a female Identifying as a guy would pose a physical risk to men on a sports team. The only ones who stand to lose something from this system are women. And now we're starting to see it at younger and younger ages. And the left is telling us to roll over and accept this. It is time for women to stop putting up with this insanity. Stop playing the sports. Stop going to the gym. Whatever it is you have to do to push back on this and say, we're not putting up with it anymore, because only then does this madness stop. And with that, that's the Brittany Hughes Show. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope you'll be back with me next Thursday. In the meantime, head over to Apple Podcasts, hit the subscribe button on the Brittany Hughes Show so you won't ever miss an episode. Also subscribe to the Newsbusters podcast with Tim Graham. That one's on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. I will see you guys back here next Thursday. I hope you have a fantastic week and a blessed weekend.